Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Not today. Not today. No, no, not today. Not from the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've moved the Allstate Showcase Studio to beautiful Schaumburg. Is this Schaumburg technically? We're like right on the border, though, aren't we? Like there's Schaumburg and then there's Tennessee. Schaumburg, because I don't know the exact map.
This is definitely Schaumburg.
But we're at the Trickster Art Gallery, which is an amazing installation of American Indian art and culture. We're going to talk to some folks from here a little bit later on. It is all service of our friends at Allstate, the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Trickster Art Gallery, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Meanwhile, on a Thursday, we'll have the usual suspects for the most part. Nick Zitzen will be on. Eric Herman will join us to give us the Democrat side of things. Pat Brady is scheduled to be here, but oh, he found it. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat Brady has found us. Thunderous applause for Pat. Don't do that too much. It'll go right to his head. Chuck Todd from NBC News in just a few minutes. Nick Zitzen as well. Denny Savard from your Blackhawks later. Ryan Dempster. Anybody a Cub fan?
Yeah, me.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Ryan Dempster will be here. And again, Dave, you know me. I'm no good at really judging the size of crowds, but I'm pretty sure we've got over 12,000 people here this morning.
Easy.
You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no question. We're close.
I don't know if you met everybody, but let me introduce the band. You met Pat on plugging things in and not blowing things up. Engineer Adam, give Adam a hand if you would. The woman we're most frightened of, newly married. How long have you been married now? A month? Is it a month?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Who said it wouldn't last? Mary Sandberg. Sandberg on the show. Sandberg Boyle. Young broadcaster here. We're hoping he catches on. Now in his, 40 years at GN?
Not quite.
Yeah.
Not quite. Getting there.
The voice of Northwestern football, basketball, and anything else they ask him to do. Along with my friend and the sports director of 720 WGN, the legend Dave Ennett is here.
Go Cats.
Thank you.
I thought Good Brady morning. Got a bigger round of applause than you did.
I know,
did you
I'm
notice
a little
that?
Concerned.
Yeah.
Could have been your
and
loss
And lovely
yesterday.
And talented Mary Vandeveld, now celebrating her. She's been here a while, and she does a fantastic job. Give Mary a hand if you would as well.
Thank you. Awesome.
Andrea Darlis is in Greece. She couldn't make it back for this, but of course I'm Kathy and Judy. So thank you all for being here. Overnight last night, some very serious business out of Charlotte as riots continue. The thing that drives me nuts about this is the screaming for the release of the police video is all well and good. It's all fine. But until that video is released, why are we not coming down on these rioters? It's not okay to riot. It's not okay to burn stuff down. It's not okay to tear buildings apart. It's not okay to shoot each other. And all of the focus has been on why hasn't the video been released. So we'll find out more about that today. Though there is a law in the books in North Carolina that says police video is not to be released until an independent panel actually examines it. The suspicion is that the cop in North Carolina did the wrong thing. The suspicion is that the cop in Tulsa, Oklahoma did the wrong thing, and they may have. But as I said yesterday, not all cops are good cops. Not all cops are bad cops. The vast majority of cops are great cops, and they want to get rid of the bad cops. But all we're focusing on here is alleged bad cops through video because we're all experts now. As soon as you see a video, we're all geniuses. We're all witnesses. We've all seen it. We know exactly what happened. And we also know that's not the case. And here's the other bulletin. Not every African-American who is involved in an incident like that is innocent. You know, I hate to break it to you, but there are crimes that are committed, and there are people that put themselves in harm's way. And when a cop acts, he acts out of training, or she acts out of training, rightly or wrongly. But everybody deserves justice in this. And just because you saw a video on CNN doesn't mean you know what happened there. So time will tell on where this rolls out, but that's a hot-button issue from overnight. My good friend Donald J. Trump shoved his foot in his mouth last night. But again, it wouldn't be a day of the week if he didn't. And the worst candidate in American history, Hillary Clinton, did a few of her things as well that weren't so helpful. So we'll get to all the politics again. And again, Pat Brady's now in the back of the room. But if any of you have left wallets or purses back there, I'd be careful. He will join us in a few minutes as well. What time is it? Oh, it's time for traffic. And Mary's here with that. All of our clocks are in different places, Mary.
I know.
We're live at the Trickster Art Gallery, and we'll get to Nick here in a few minutes on entertainment before we talk about what goes on here every day, because it's a really cool place and recommend you visit.
What to see, what's out at the show, oh, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GN's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know.
It's WGN Radio, Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg, presented by Allstate agent Chuck Suda. I want to mention that back at the tower, you've got Mike Jake Jacobson, who's become most famous for his impression of Mary Vandeveld as Mary's subconscious.
Oh, is that what it is?
And it's Ryan Lochte.
It's Ryan Lochte's pretty good as well. Yes. Yeah, there's
but
no money. There's no money in either one of those, but they work for Jake. Jake, do you want to say hi to Mary as Mary?
Is it cold out there, Mary?
No, but it's very cold in here, Jake.
Yes.
I'll have you know.
Yes.
What are you wearing?
What?
Did you prepare with a long sleeve?
Okay. I wouldn't ask myself.
I mean, Steve,
that.
Can we get to Nick DiGiulio, please?
Yes, we can, but I also
I don't want to talk to myself this morning. It's too early.
I just want to mention, is it Ben? Ben running the show back there?
Yeah, it's Ben. Yeah.
Okay, good. And Bennett is our troubled millennial. Bennett will be part of the fray here in a little bit. Who am I missing?
I don't even know where he is.
Oh, and Steve Grzanich in the newsroom looking for food. All of that happening back at the tower. All right, Nick standing by on the phone. Let's go there now. And good morning to you, Nick DiGiulio.
Good morning.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
A lot of people out here, Nick. A lot of people at the Trickster Art Gallery. They got up early.
Yeah? Packed.
Yes, and they're all here to hear what you think of some of the movies coming up. I got a question for you. There's the Magnificent Seven remake is out this weekend.
Yes.
But Mary Vandeveld and I were talking yesterday. I think you and I were talking about this. What happened to the Can't Miss Western a couple of weeks ago that I've already forgotten the title of?
The Can't Miss? Oh.
Can't Miss.
Oh, Can't Miss. I thought you said Can't Miss.
Yeah.
Western?
The bank, it shot in the Old West anyway. The Old West, the New West, the bank robbery thing?
Oh, To Hell or High Water?
That's the one. To Hell or High Water.
Oh, okay.
It's doing really well.
I want to see
it. Oh, it is doing well.
It's doing really well. And, they platformed it to really release that movie very cleverly because it started out in two or three theaters per city, and each week they've released it more, and it keeps making more money. It's a terrific movie. And,
that's what I had heard, and I thought it had drifted away, but it's good. So To Hell or High Water.
No, it's out there. Hell or High Water, Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine, really good film.
I finally saw Sully, which I liked very much, but, you know, that's just Tom Hanks' kid. He's going to be all right.
In it too, and so is Aaron Eckhart. They had a really nice chemistry between the two of them. I really enjoyed Sully. Did you see it in IMAX?
Yeah. Well, you ordered me to.
Yes, I did. And for people who are interested in seeing Sully, I really recommend seeing it in IMAX because Clint shot it in that format, and it's the first time he's ever shot in a movie in IMAX, and he did a great job.
Yeah, and if anybody's feeling a little tired, a little older than they think they are this morning, Clint Eastwood is 85 or 6 now.
Yeah.
He made Sully when he was 84, and he's working on his next movie.
Yeah, he's like 85 years old. He makes one movie in a year, sometimes two. It's ridiculous.
You know what Tom Dreesen's friends with Clint Eastwood. You know, he told me this week, and I think he told me this off the air, but we were talking about Eastwood and talking about being 85 years old, and he looks at this Dreesen. He goes, Eastwood looked at me, and he goes, I don't let the old man in. He goes, every time the old man wants to come in, I don't let him in.
Great. I want to make a recommendation for people out there. The footage is on YouTube. Clint Eastwood made an appearance to promote Sully a couple of weeks ago on Jimmy Fallon. And out of nowhere, he started doing an imitation of Molly Shannon.
What?
Yes. He started doing Mary Catherine Gallagher, Mario Terry, the 50. I'm 50. He started doing that.
Did he bump his head before he came on?
I don't know. I think she was on the show with him.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, and so he met her backstage and said he was a big fan and then came out and did imitations of her characters. I seriously almost fell off the couch.
Yeah, because you don't think of Clint Eastwood as being funny, right?
No, and also you don't think of Clint Eastwood as being a Molly Shannon fan.
All right, so as we continue here, the Magnificent Seven remake, you're seeing it?
I'm going to see it this weekend. I hear mixed things about it. You know, everybody says it's pretty solid. It's got a great cast. It is a remake of, well, it's a remake of a remake, because The Magnificent Seven is a remake. The Magnificent Seven is a remake of Seven Samurai. So this is, it's a remake of a remake. And but in the original, you had Yul Brynner, Eli Wallach, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson, Robert Vaughn, and James Coburn. And it's not quite as star-studded. This one's not quite as star-studded as that one. I mean, you got Denzel, you got Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, and then the bad guy's played by one of my favorite actors in the world, Peter Sarsgaard. I hear pretty good things about it. It runs 15 minutes longer than the original, which I guess is, common now.
And this is the third version of it. So, Magnus, yeah. is that the big release of the weekend, or is the Storks movie the big deal?
Well, they're both going to battle for first place. Now, the thing is that, Magnificent Seven is PG-13, so not a lot of kids are going to see it. But Storks is, rated PG, and it's a kids movie from the people who brought you the Lego movie. Andy Samberg, Kelsey Grammer, Jennifer Aniston, Keegan-Michael Key, Jordan Peele all have voices in this. And it actually looks very, very funny. And if it's half as good as the Lego movie, it's going to be terrific. I got a feeling that Magnificent Seven and Storks are going to be neck and neck for box office this week. And I think they're both going to be, really big, because it's been pretty slow. I mean, last week, the two movies that opened last week were just horrendous, including the Blair Witch sequel, which was right. Just unwatchable. So this is, Sully's been the only movie that's been out for the past few weeks that's been doing well. Everything else is pretty much, anything new has tanked. So, the studios are looking for a couple of big ones this week.
How long before we have an animated version of The Magnificent Seven? Is that next? Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah, you know what? Christmas. Yeah, Christmas. Yeah. It'll be up.
Yeah. What about Goat? What is Goat?
Goat is this movie with Nick Jonas and James Franco, and it's about, how many crazy movies have been made about frat houses? Like wacky comedies and, from Animal House to the two Neighbors movies and all that stuff. This is the opposite side of that. It's about the horrible hazing that goes on and how it affects the people that go through it and the people that put them through the hazing. And apparently it's not a very easy film to watch, but it really does have its finger on the pulse of what really happens in these frat houses and how terrible it can be and how the hazing can just be, just horrendous. And, evidently Nick Jonas is really good in it, from what I hear. So,
I didn't know Nick Jonas was an actor.
Yeah, well, he was on Scream Queens, the TV show from last year, and he was very funny on that. And,
he was
very
funny,
good on that.
And that show started again this week, too. Woohoo!
It starts, I can't wait to see it. I love that show.
Nick has got his big Halloween month underway here in just a couple of days. Halloween still your favorite holiday?
Of course it is, yes.
Yeah. And what little freak show plan do you have for the show?
Well, for my film club, October 4th, we are showing the extended director's cut version of The Exorcist. $10.
Extra pea soup in this one?
Well, we're gonna have a pea soup special in the restaurant at the theater.
It's a nice touch.
So, yeah, very nice. And it's a great movie. If you've not seen it, on the big screen, you got to see it. And it's, arguably considered by many to be the scariest movie ever made. And we wanted to show a classic.
We're playing a clip right now. We always like to play a clip on the radio. All right, thanks. Here you go. Hope you enjoyed that. It's one of the more troubling scenes from The Exorcist. Do you know I've never seen the movie in its entirety?
Wait, because of its content?
I don't know if it was when I was a kid. When did it come out? 75?
73.
So I was what, 11?
No, you were chicken.
I was 11, 12 years old. Yeah.
Couldn't take the whole movie.
I'm sure I was scared.
You left,
My dad took me to see it when I was 8.
It explains a lot about Nick DiGilio, doesn't it?
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's a great film, though. Steve. Seriously, it's one of the best. It's one of the best horror films ever made.
Well, I got to know Linda Blair a little bit. She used to come around quite often. She dated a friend of mine briefly, and got to know her. I think when I was in Minneapolis, and she's a very nice woman.
She's lovely. I've met her at a couple of horror conventions. She's a really lovely and, you know, stable girl, a stable woman who happened to do some of the craziest stuff that a 12-year-old could ever do on film. And yet she's fine, you know?
Yeah, well, she had a rough patch, but, I mean, she came out of it. But it seems like she's probably – because she's got to be – she's about 60, right? Wouldn't Linda Blair be 60?
She was 12 when she made the movie in 1974.
Same age, so. Yeah, maybe 56, 57.
Yeah.
All right, so how do we get tickets to see The Exorcist? And don't forget to take the kids.
That's right, carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E. You can reserve your seats. They'll be waiting for you Tuesday, October 4th, carmike.com.
And we have a confirmation now. Linda Blair is 57.
Got it, yeah.
She looks fabulous.
She's great,
boy,
yeah.
For somebody that was...
She's had some work, I think.
Well, yeah, Satan, obviously.
Definitely.
Unbelievable.
She needed it, yeah, after that.
Shocked and outraged. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
Have a good weekend. WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour continues next from the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg, presented by Allstate agent Chuck Suda. And this is 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
There is still much we don't know about what happened in both incidents, but we do know that we have two more names to add to a list of African Americans killed by police officers in these encounters. It's unbearable, and it needs to become intolerable.
This young officer, I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know what she was thinking, but I'm very, very troubled by that. Did she get scared? Was she choking? What happened? But maybe people like that, people that choke, people that do that, maybe they can't be doing what they're doing. Okay? They can't be doing what they're doing.
Fraternal Order of Police, who endorsed Trump last week, are not so happy with him this morning for calling out the cop without due process. In the meantime, stop and frisk is not something the president has power over. That's a state and city rights thing. He wouldn't be able to do that if he wanted to. And frankly, he won't know if he wanted to. He'll forget he said it by this morning. Hillary Clinton coming out the way she did and coming down on the overall threat. Neither one of them helped. That's the bottom line. Neither one of them helped. And we still have violence in the streets in Charlotte, though things appear to be quiet this morning. As we go to Chuck Todd here now, though, I don't know what to make of those statements. I mean, Trump didn't surprise me. I guess it surprised me, Chuck, a little bit more that Hillary came out and said it's got to be intolerable. Well, of course it does. But what does that mean?
Yeah, I think they're, you could tell they're both grasping, because there's no easy solution here. This issue of distrust between cops and the African American community has been there for decades, and I think what you have now is you have, particularly, this has been an issue driven more by young African Americans who are just are of this boat. Enough is enough. We've been living this way. African Americans have been living this way for decades when it comes to the police. So these incidents, it's just creating more distrust and more fear. I was just talking with an African-American colleague, and he said for the first time he's uncomfortable sitting in his nice car by the side of the road if he just pulls over for a second. That's what these incidents are doing, and I think that the nerves of cops are at elevated levels, and the nerves of African-American citizens are at an elevated level in their interactions with the police. So the situation feels worse even as everybody keeps talking about making attempts to figure out how to make it better. And so a little bit.
Yeah, and frankly, the video, in an attempt for transparency, the hope for transparency, the video amplifies everything. And I just grow very tired of everyone becoming instant experts because they saw it on TV. You weren't there. You weren't a witness. You don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened. I mean, you know, we already have two different stories about what actually happened in Charlotte. You know, was he reading? Was there a gun? You know, and it just, and obviously it's not healthy that, you know, there's the way that we just immediately assume there's controversy around it before we find out all the facts. And then, you know, the coverage almost gets ahead of the facts.
Chuck Todd moderates Meet the Press, does a fantastic job. He was grilling Trump before anybody else made it fashionable. And Monday night is, well, it's the big event, Chuck. It's the big event. It's the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. It's the two most reprehensible candidates in my lifetime going head-to-head to try to figure out who will we cast our precious vote for. Estimate the audience for me. I think we're going to see a Super Bowl number here.
That's been the assumption. I mean, a lot of people think it'll be in the 100s first time. I think it was Sarah Palin that got to 90, her debate got to 90 million, and I think that's the all-time high. First debate with Perot was pretty close, so to 85 to 90. So I think over 100 is attainable here. That's for sure. But, you know, what if it doesn't move the needle? Right. And if nothing moves the needle, advantage Clinton, I guess, since she's got the sort of built in advantage, small but durable lead now. But it's very possible, you know, what's amazing about our most recent poll is actually how stable this race is. It's essentially now it's in the same place it was at the end of the primary season. She's got a small national lead. She's got an electoral college advantage. She's got a problem, you know, voters have problems with her judgment. But Donald Trump, you know, he's still struggling to put together the entire Republican coalition, and he's got problems with temperament. It was the same, two biggest issues for them in May are still the two biggest issues now.
Still feels like a coal mine to me, though. It feels like something really, really bad could happen, and it won't take much because he could shoot his mouth off and say something that'll inflame everybody and whether or not it sticks.
But it's sort of like but it only pops for like a day.
And well, that's what I'm saying. Kind of it, you know, it may stick for a day or two. But what does she? Yeah. What does she have to do to win it? And what could she do to lose it?
You know, I would assume that the toughest decision she has to make on Monday night is the decision about how to confront Trump. Right? Confronting Trump, dressing him down on something. Maybe turning to him and said, how dare you, you know, you play this Second Amendment game and sort of toy with safety on the campaign trail or something like that. I'm curious to see because how that moment plays out when they have a direct confrontation. That could have a big impact on how voters view her and him in a moment like that. So how could she lose it? That, you know, if she looks like she gets stared down or backs down or just somehow looks or seems weak when sitting next to him and seems suddenly less in command. I think it presents an interesting challenge for her because you've got to decide how tough to be against him. At the same time, you don't want to risk doing what his opponents did to him in the spring. You attack him and he just, you know, beat him down with a stick.
There's been, I'll let you go on this, there's been a big argument about whether or not Lester and any of the moderators should fact check these guys. We had a problem with one of the CNN moderators back in 2012 where fact checking actually turned out to be wrong when it was done by the moderator. And she's a fine woman, fine reporter for years, no longer at CNN. But the point is the moderators, it's probably not, at least in my opinion, it's not their job to do it. But it's their job to control the argument when they start accusing each other of being wrong.
Yeah, it's the moderator can't sit there and fact check everything. Part of that.
Good God, with these two, that'd be the entire debate. It'd be all Lester. Right.
And it's sort of like you got to draw the line on what you're going to fact check. I think if you fact check, you know, there's facts. There's fact checking based on previous statements a candidate has made. That to me feels like something that the two campaigns should be arguing about, right? Because it's about like what do they really believe or not. There isn't, you know, it's something that sort of shifts in the mode. To me, the moderator needs to be there, particularly to fact check actual facts about policies or about statistics with the economy or things like that. That's, you know what I mean? It's sort of like I would try to split that a little bit, right? That's sort of the line. But no matter what, you know, at the end of the day, this is not about the moderators. And I think way too many people that are trying to make it about the moderators are doing a disservice to the voters. It's about the two candidates. If this story is about the moderators, then Trump and Clinton have have won the process, and that's not right. It should be about
no. It absolutely isn't. It's a standard Trump diversionary tactic. But no, it has to be about the two of them. And I think Lester's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. Let me put it that way. I'm pretty confident.
On Sunday morning, I assume you'll be doing a big pregame.
A lot of debate pregame. Sort of an odd thing. Here's one thing I can promise you: neither Trump or Clinton is going to go out on Sunday because they're going to be knee deep in their own debate prep. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of debate prep on Sunday. That's for sure. Actually, I just sat down with the president of Iran, Rouhani. I had a lot of that on my cable show yesterday. We'll delve into that a little bit too.
Yeah, and it's good stuff too. You can pick it up online all day today, and don't forget about MTP Daily on MSNBC. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be watching.
How about those Bears? Great. They're going to be awesome. Can they go and? That's the question all Packer fans want to have the answer to. Goodbye.
Yeah, it just got mean. He just got mean. I don't know what happened to him. That's the great Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. The problem is he's not wrong. Let's take a break, come back, traffic from Mary, and then let's talk about the Trickster Art Gallery, which is where we are for the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour on 720 WGN. I want to thank Lou Malnati's for providing our listeners with pizza today. If they haven't already, they will be soon. Is the pizza up yet? Because I was cooking all night. 40-plus Chicagoland locations, including one of the main ones right down the street. As we continue live here from the Trickster Art Gallery, courtesy of our friends at Allstate, why don't you say hi to an old pal of mine, Joe Podlasek. And Joe, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Steve.
It's a beautiful place.
Thank you. Glad to have you here.
How long has it been open?
It's 11 years now.
And I know there's a woman who is kind of the engine behind this, and I've forgotten her name, but went to the folks in Schaumburg, because the location could have been, frankly, anywhere. And Schaumburg opened the space, right? Gave you
they
room
did.
To do this.
Yeah, it was a wonderful invite by Mary Larson's and Betsy Armistead.
That's something of, yep.
Yeah,
yep,
from the Prairie Arts Center. And the Village has been tremendous here about supporting cultural activities.
And the Prairie Arts Center is great. I've done a couple of shows over there. It's a great theater.
They do amazing things. So we're very proud to be partners with them.
American Indian Art and Culture, a modern perspective here. Galleries open every day. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, the reason you want to tell a modern story here is because, for instance, old Hollywood hasn't done the American Indian life many favors, has
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we're working on redoing some of those films. So.
Telling the truth.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. What do you want to highlight when people come out?
So the first thing they'll see is our tribute to the Native veterans. Not many people think of American Indian people in the military beyond the Navajo Code Talkers of World War II. There was 34 languages the military used in various wars, starting with the Choctaw language.
Is that right?
Yeah. So in beginning of World War I, the Choctaw language was used.
So the American Indian participation in all wars, the history of that is something that really isn't being taught anywhere.
It's not being taught. It's not being talked about outside of the Native communities. We have the highest percentage of any race of people per capita to volunteer for the military.
Stepping up first.
Yeah. One out of every four people, Native people, volunteer for the military.
What about the environmental part of this? Because the one thing that we should have listened to a long time ago is the American Indian movement about how to take care of the planet. Maybe we wouldn't be in this space.
Right. So sometimes it's good to revisit history.
Right.
This being one of those times, I mean, the pipeline is, now it's everyone's issue, ending here in Chicago. So we're in Illinois, not in Chicago. We're a big supporter of that, the stance by the Standing Rock people.
By the way, if you don't know what Standing Rock is, if you just Google Standing Rock, there is story after story after story. And the exciting thing for folks who are upset about this, and it sounds like a weird sentence, is the millennials, the kids with the most energy, have locked into this cause like never before. So there's a lot of energy behind the movement.
Well, it's going to impact them the most, because as the fracking and different things, earthquakes happen because of these pipelines in part, they break. Sometimes they don't know for 10 years. They're just pumping oil into our system, into our water. So we have to be careful. It's not only for us, but for our generations coming forward.
All right. Well, when we talk to you again in an hour or so, or sometime in the next few minutes even, Pick a few things out here specifically, and maybe some artists you want to talk about. But is this disc that I was just handed, is this available here?
That is available. So it's a tribute to Native veterans. We do a national gathering of American Indian veterans where all veterans are welcome to be honored and celebrated, not just the American Indian veterans, at Cantigny Park.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cantigny's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful space. Yeah. So we did 2 years. This was a collection of some beautiful artists, award-winning artists, one here today with us, Dawn. And they came together, put that together to support our veterans program and raise a few bucks.
So the veterans program benefits when people come out and buy this. The shop downstairs is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, so we... and we.
I guess you'll have some of my money before I leave.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah. but can you stick around and talk to us some more in a little bit?
Absolutely. Love to.
Nice to see you again.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you very much. Back live at the beautiful Trickster Art Gallery in Roselle. Well, Schaumburg on Roselle Road. I guess it's got a little bit of a history lesson that Schaumburg came from Roselle. Roselle begat Schaumburg.
Are you sure about that?
I looked it up.
Really?
Thank you to County Donuts for bringing pastries and donuts to our broadcast. It seemed to be a big hit. Visit County Donuts, 1218 South Roselle Road in Schaumburg. Open 24 hours a day. Just one of the reasons Steve Grzanich is bitter that he's back at the tower.
I don't know. What, you got donuts? You didn't know what? Nobody said there was going to be donuts.
Donuts and pizza.
Yeah,
oh, my
pizza
God.
Too.
Pizza, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Steve.
Donuts and pizza, the Grzanich breakfast of champions.
It really does put hair on your chest.
Nick Zitzen will join us in just a moment. You guys tell me when he's ready to go. Nick Zitzen is a friend of mine who is a big deal at SAP, the intergalactic global as well, more than intergalactic, I suppose, computer giant, but a guy that worked very close with Mitt Romney, and a guy that understands the damage that's been done to the Republican Party, but can also speak to both sides of the debate on Monday night. Of course, Pat Brady's here, and Eric Herman will join us here in a little bit. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And at Next Generation Strategies, what do you do?
Government Affairs, Media Relations.
What do you do?
I work very hard for all my clients, Steve.
Okay, good. Let's do traffic first, then we'll come back with Nick, and we'll continue to talk about the big Monday night show. Where are you going to be Monday night for the debate?
I will be somewhere watching. Where are you going to be?
I'll be
I thought you were coming over with Eric.
Eric and Kathy?
Yeah. Oh, no, Eric.
Eric and Kathy will be watching Dancing with the Stars. I can promise you that. The debate Monday night is going to have a record crowd, and you and I have talked about this. You really don't want to be hanging around a lot of people because you want to watch it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't like Super Bowl parties. I like to watch the game.
Yeah. So we'll get to Nick Zitzen on that and other things in a second, and more with Pat and more with Eric Herman as well. Our other Eric Edelstein, is on the road in North Carolina today. Do we know if he's in Charlotte?
He might be. I know he's got a couple clients.
Might be worth a text to see if he's in Charlotte, see if he can give us a little sense of what's happening there. And Danny Savard next hour from the Blackhawks, and of course more from Joe on the beautiful Trickster Art Gallery. Mayor Emanuel's speech is tonight, I believe, about violence in Chicago. Fairly timely considering what's going on around the country, and wants to hire as many as 1,000 new cops in Chicago. The question is, how's it going to get paid for? We'll get to that coming up. A guy who knows the city well and certainly knows national politics as well and is worried about the Republican Party is Nick Zitzen, Senior Vice President for Global Corporate Affairs at SAP, a guy who knows Governor Romney well and has worked with the Republican Party for a long time, but gets politics on both sides. And like Pat Brady here, I think is very fair about talking about both sides. And we welcome you back to the show. Good morning, Nick.
So I'm listening to the show on the WGN mobile app here in Philadelphia with my wife, and she looks over at me and she goes, "You're going to follow Chuck Todd from Meet the Press?"
And the answer is, yes, you are.
And she said, she thinks I'm better looking than Chuck, but she doesn't think that's going to help me on radio. So,
you know what? I would agree with her that it is, and you're going to be just fine. Where will you be Monday night for the debate?
You know, I'm going to be at JFK Airport in New York because I'm flying to Europe that night. And it's actually a great place to watch current events in an airport because you get such a great mix of people. So I'm anxious to see how they react. I probably see the first half hour, 45 minutes before I get aboard the plane.
I can picture you, though, with everybody in the bar at the airport going, shh, 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 shh. Quiet, you know, quiet. I'm trying to listen.
That's the unique thing about this election. Do you really believe that there'll be people sitting at the bar who won't want to hear?
Well,
I mean,
that's
this
true.
Is like, this is a Hollywood-style election. They're going to watch every minute of it, I bet.
Last time I talked to you, I don't know that we discussed this. Certainly Pat Brady and I have discussed this, and Pat jumping in this as well. If you stop the clock right now, how much damage has been done to the core values of the Republican Party based on what we've seen this year?
Well, I'd love to hear Pat's take on it as a former state party chair, but my take is, and there was a great David Brooks piece in the New York Times, if you haven't read it, about sort of what could be a realignment in American politics, how the parties could shape up in the future. And it was a really sort of eerie analysis in that it could be right. I think Donald Trump has forever changed the face of the Republican Party, win or lose. I think he's taken such a statistically significant bulk of sort of, quote, base Republican voters and convinced them that the more traditional form of Republicanism is no longer acceptable. So I don't know how the party ever gets those people back. So you start to wonder, what is the party going to have to do in elections upcoming in order to sort of put together a coalition that can actually win a national election? I don't know the answer to that question, Steve.
You agree with that, Pat?
I totally agree. And I don't know what the answer is either, but you say realignment. The thing that always disturbs me about Donald Trump is he doesn't represent any of the core Republican values. I mean, for example, free trade. He's not a free trader. We've always been free traders. I go down the list, and that's where it's going to be difficult to see how this realignment comes about.
Well, one of the things for both of you on this is those that are in charge stay in charge because they make the rules about who's in charge. It's part of the problem with how Congress runs, and it's a problem with politics in general. It's certainly one of the reasons that the greatest threat to Illinois, Mike Madigan, is still in power. So what do you do when those who make the rules, still have the keys to the kingdom? Because certainly Reince Priebus was smart enough to stand up after 2012 and say we need a makeover, and he wasn't able to get it done.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you heard it in the primary, right, when all the other Republicans were still in the race, and many of them were trying to figure out how to handle Donald Trump. Because deep down they know that Donald Trump does speak for a certain sentiment that is very real. And the sentiment is, I don't like people who are, quote, you know, establishment politicians, career politicians, professional politicians, whatever you want to call it, because the system doesn't work for me. So he's obviously gone about it one way, which would not be the way that Pat nor I would go about it. But, we have a real issue with the disconnect that exists between people who take politics and public policy seriously and people who are supporting Donald Trump, who are, by the way, still Americans, they're still voters, they're taxpayers, we care about them. The question is, how do you bring them together with people who are sort of more in line with a traditional view of what it means to be an effective political leader?
So does this election come down to literally on both sides, I'm voting for this person because I can't vote for the other?
Did you see the new Joss Whedon thing?
No.
Be here. Joss Whedon's one of a Hollywood producer. He's done some of those cult videos. He has a new celebrity campaign. I think it's called Be a Hero or Be the Hero Vote. It's a campaign with a bunch of celebs where they get on.
Oh, yeah,
YouTube.
Yeah. It came out last night. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. You should watch it. It's really good. So basically, they're trying to go in the reverse direction. They're trying to take a pop culture approach to saying, it's not acceptable to say, you know, you don't like either candidate. Like this election, you know, show up, study, have a position and show up. And then they take a few direct hits at Trump in the video. But I do think that this idea of sort of sitting on your hands and saying, yeah, I don't like either candidate. I mean, gosh, that's just, you know, there's too much at stake in this one.
I think, too, that the point you raised there is the pollsters that have been wrong for a long time the last couple of years. I don't think they know who's actually going to show up. Which is going to make a big difference. These polls may be all wrong, depending on who shows up.
Pat, it's a great point. And there's another piece. There's a guy who wrote a piece talking about what do Trump's believers really think. And they think that he's going to run up vote totals in places that most pollsters don't even consider on the map.
Right.
So,
like,
I think that's a fair thing.
No, I'm saying Illinois, downstate Illinois, as unpopular as Trump is up where we're sitting in the northern suburbs, he's very popular down there. He's actually going to help our state house candidates.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm not ready to call this thing. I haven't been ready, even at Hillary's height during the Democratic convention. I watched too many people, including myself and probably Pat, and including you and Steve. We all got it wrong, right? And while everybody wants to say a national election is different than winning a Republican nomination, I just don't think you can apply any conventional wisdom to judging this race. There's too much disruption.
The big discussion now, and I'll let you go on this, is turnout and the concern that turnout's going to be low. I completely disagree. I can't imagine with the amount of attention that's been on this race that we won't see big turnout numbers. Because I think sometime in the last 30 days, 30 to 45 days here, whatever Clinton's campaign folks have been holding back and whatever Trump's folks come up with is just going to light the fires even bigger.
Trump's pulled a lot of his TV. I mean, he doesn't have much TV up right now. And there's articles out this morning. He hasn't bought much. So Hillary's right now is dominating the airwaves.
What do you think turnout will be up or down?
I think we'll see how many people watch Monday night might be an indicator of what the interest is.
How do you feel, Nick?
Unless he completely tanks, unless he does, I mean, and I don't know what the definition of that would be at this point, but I think his people are going to show up in big droves, and I think there's going to be lines at polling places. Maybe not the same polling places where people lined up in 2008, but there'll be lines at polling places.
Have you thought, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, what's the strategy for her with him?
On Monday night?
Yeah, does she try to pin his ears back? Does she sit there and wait till he messes up? Or what's she going to do?
Listen, I've said this for weeks now. Be the grandmother. Be the grandmother. Be above it. And you know, your grandmother can go, is that really how you want to talk?
No, the thing is, you said this last week, and I respectfully disagree. We don't elect grandmas. We elect JFK who goes to the moon. We elect Ronald Reagan at Shine City on the Hill.
Maybe time for a grandmother, pal.
Oh, man.
Maybe time for a grandma. I know a lot of grandmothers would kick your ass and Nick's and mine, too. And I'm telling you right now, it may be time.
I wish my grandmother was on the ballot. That's all I'll say.
How are things at SAP? You guys struggling along?
Yeah, you know, we're perfectly content. Let's just say the technology is not going to stop being a driving force in the modern economy.
No kidding. Safe travels, my friend. Always nice to have you on.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Pat. See you guys.
That's Nick Zitzen live from Pennsylvania and headed off on another worldwide trip. He's just
that's a big, great product, isn't it, SAP?
SAP's in everything.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Everything. I got a pair of tickets to the sold-out Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival this Saturday inside the United Center. The Outdoor Free Festival starts at 8. And Lou Manfredini will be doing a show live there. Now, you might be saying, Steve, what number do I call to win? Well, you know, because if you're not here, you're not going to win. Dave, pull a ticket.
Okay.
Pull a ticket. We'll get the winner right here for this first pair of tickets. And what number do you have on the ticket, Dave?
The number is 877.
Could you go slower, Dave? Because this audience.
it's kind of like at the end of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
This is for Mary's benefit.
Okay.
877-0413.
877-0413. Got a winner?
What?
Well, find somebody close to you that can. Have someone here suck up to you that would like to go. We'll give away more pairs of tickets to the sold-out Blackhawks Training Camp Festival and also tickets for the preseason and a Nicholas Jalmerson signed puck, all if you're here between now and 10 o'clock, so come on out. And next hour, speaking of the Blackhawks, Danny Savard will be here. We're at the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg. It's the Hometown Voices Tour. And WJN Radio's Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I told Michael Jackson, I said, if you're poor, you are a poor Negro. I will use the N-word. But if you're rich, you are a rich Negro. If you are intellectual, you are intellectual Negro. If you are dancing and sliding and gliding, I mean, Negro.
If you are a reflection of those you choose to hang out with, that was a Donald Trump event yesterday with Don King, convicted murderer and boxing promoter and thief.
I believe he previously endorsed Hillary Clinton.
It did. Is that right?
Yeah, in previous races.
Oh, okay. We may have forgotten to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never
know. He was at the convention on the floor.
Who's got worse hair? Don King or Donald Trump?
That's a good. We had to do a survey. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's a toss-up
question. Who am I to criticize hair? Well, have you seen those two? Come on, please.
You know, he matted it down though. It's not like the old days.
It is smaller.
Yep.
Yeah, it is smaller. I want to thank a couple of people here. We're live at the Trickster Art Gallery. Trickster, as a matter of fact, the website right behind me here, trickstergallery.com. But we want to thank Bonefish Grill for giving gift cards to everybody that's out here today. Wally's Coffee House and Sean Burke for bringing us coffee. On the Border gift cards as well. And if you come out, we have some more Blackhawk stuff to give away here as well. We've got some folks going to play a little music for us in a second. Want to bring into this discussion Eric Herman, who has been on the show several times. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
How are you, Steve? Good morning to you.
Nice to have you here. Pat Brady is here as well. Pat, say hi to Eric.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I will never pass the green door again and not walk in when you flagged me down the other day, so I apologize.
Yeah, that was really rude. Don't ever do that again.
Even though you guys technically are on opposite sides of the equation politically, you both get a look at these polls, national polls, and Pat, you made it fairly clear on the show how you feel about these national polls. But now it appears, in the last 24 to 48 hours, Hillary Clinton's pulling away in a couple of states again, in a couple of key areas, and a couple of national polls.
Yeah, they go back and forth, but I'm not sure if the pollsters are right, like they were wrong 4 years ago, because I'm not sure if they know who's really going to turn out. And that's what these polls depend upon.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And I was listening to your conversation a few minutes ago. I mean, we don't know what kinds of new voters Trump brings into the election that haven't been voting recently. We just don't know. And another key factor is the, and I say this as a Democrat, you know, is the enthusiasm gap that Hillary suffers from, especially among young voters. So that's 100% right.
Don't you think, though, and I really believe this year more than ever before, angry old white guys, I know a few of them, angry old white guys are much more likely to get up and to go out and vote than 22 to 25-year-olds who get distracted because something cool was on YouTube.
And she's not appealing to them right now. A lot of those are peeling off to Gary Johnson and Jill Stein and some of the third-party candidates. She is having trouble with millennials. Is that accurate, Eric?
No, 100%. I think what you're talking about, Steve, is excitement. And, you know, what Obama had, one of the many things he had going for him as a candidate was he generated so much excitement, particularly among young people. And there was no question they weren't going to vote, and they got involved in the process, and so on and so forth. Hillary does not generate excitement. And I think that's a problem. And I think you're right in the sense that Trump generates, I don't know if excitement's the right word, but some kind of fire among certain voters, angry white men, certainly, rural voters and whatnot. So I think that excitement gap is a big problem. I want to say one other thing, though, about these third-party candidates. You know, I realize this is futile, but I wish I could get in a room with a big group of these young voters who say they're going to vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or whoever, and just give them like a 5-minute lecture on what happened in 2000, and see if that makes any difference to change their minds.
What about 1992 when Ross Perot took it? I remember all my friends, I'm voting for Ross Perot because we're mad at George Bush, and it gave us Bill Clinton, and then now we've got Hillary Clinton. So if you're a Republican, you really got to think long and hard about what it means to vote for a third-party candidate.
But at the same time, we need a third party, and I think the way the Libertarians have run this third-party race has been ridiculous.
There might be a third party after this one.
Yeah, but it still has to have that groundswell of support, and I think the Libertarians, because they've had the biggest footprint here, have really missed an opportunity. So instead, they're the mosquito flying around, the annoying fly flying around, instead of somebody that's really, truly competitive in the race and could make a difference. And it's not just about Aleppo. I just feel like they haven't had the organization to get it done or the cohesiveness.
Yeah, Bill Weld probably would have been better. Governor Weld would have been better at the top of that ticket. But Eric, as a Democrat, you've got to be looking at the Clinton campaign and wondering why they have not pulled away yet and why this is as close, and it has gotten closer, as close as it is. I mean, is there any talk amongst Democrats about that, or is everybody still pretty confident?
Well, certainly can't speak for all Democrats. I'm concerned. I think that, and I tell my Democratic friends, if you think that Hillary has this race built up, you're delusional. Donald Trump is very much still in this race. And, you know, I'm concerned, and I know that there are others who are too. But I will say that, it's easy to be too alarmist about these polls, the fluctuations on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we're still in September. It's, you know, things are going to bounce up and down. And let's remember that this is, in effect, a third presidential term. This is going to be, in some ways, a continuation of, 8 years of Obama. That's what Hillary is campaigning on, in effect. And that's a hard thing to do. And then you add to that the fact that as talented as and as intelligent as she is not a good candidate. I mean, let's be real. She is not a good candidate. And she knows it. But, I mean, that's obviously a significant headwind.
Eric, you've actually coached me on media. How are you going to coach your candidate Hillary Clinton on how to handle this debate? What is the strategy for her?
Boy, I tell you, Pat, that is a great question. Can you imagine having to debate this guy?
I'd do it. I'd do it tomorrow.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. It'd be a blast.
Well, then, Steve, I want to hear how you handle it.
Yeah, well, here's what honestly, if I'm Hillary Clinton, the way I would handle it is I would pat him on the head over and over again. I would make him look like the buffoon that he is. I would put him in positions to actually defend the things that he said and to show that he could get one issue through Congress. One. Any of the things that he's promised. Because the great disconnect here is the same thing that happened on Election Day with Mitt Romney in 2012. The economy in 2012 was different than it is today. And if you go back to 2012, millennials and young African-Americans in particular, in a section of Northern Virginia and a couple of suburbs in Ohio, helped Barack Obama get over the top. And those are the same people who went home that night and slept on their parents' couches because they didn't have jobs.
And they're still there.
So the disconnect between the reality of your life and who you like better because you like them better on TV or what you've heard, I think could really swing this election. You may love what Donald Trump has to say, but can he get one thing done? And my answer to that would be no.
Well, Steve, I'm going to disagree with you slightly here. I don't think that Trump's appeal to people is about getting things done necessarily. I think it's just that he appeals to people who are angry and who just want to attack the status quo. I think that's the nut of his appeal. I think if I'm Hillary, what I think she needs to do is she needs to tell a story, and she needs to stick to it. She needs to talk about, you know, like she said at the convention, we're stronger together. She needs to paint a picture of a country that's not divided, that's coming together, and she needs to remind people about things that the Democrats have done. For example, the auto bailout. If I were her, I would mention that. It might seem like ancient history to some people, but if I were her, I would mention that every time I open my mouth, because that's going to help her in places like Ohio and Michigan, where she has to win. And then I would have one or two zingers. One or two really good zingers like Lloyd Benson had against Dan Quayle, just really, really memorable barbs. And then other than that, I would just really, really try not to get sucked into Trump's craziness.
I think, too, it depends on the moderator, how aggressive he is in fact-checking, how aggressive she can be, or what she almost has to call an audible.
I'd look right in the camera and I'd go, are you done? Mr. Trump, are you done? Do you feel better now? Eric, where do you work?
He's never done. I work at Kivett, which is the world's greatest public affairs firm here in Chicago.
And thanks for jumping on. We always appreciate you jumping on and discussing the nonsense that is campaign 2016. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get Joe back in here to talk more about what's happening at Trickster Art Gallery. Hear a little music from here as well. It's the Steve Cochran Show. We're live at the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour at Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg. It's Steve Cochran Show live. Let's give away, here, pick a ticket. We're giving away something else, kids. Get your tickets out.
Ticket. This one is.
Wait, this time, four tickets to see the Hawks take on the last year's Stanley Cup champs, the Penguins. That's not going to last. And a preseason matchup at the United Center next Wednesday night. All right.
424-0904.
424-0904. Is that what you said?
424-0904.
424-0904. A winner! Hey, a winner!
Hey.
And she's got a jersey on. Look at her.
Wow, you're already dressed to go to the game. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Yeah, now everybody, and you notice how everybody's your best friend now? Yeah, look at that. Joe, snap that microphone on right in front of you there. That button, there you go. Joe Podlasek is here, and Joe, lean into that mic. Oh, try it again. There you go, now you're on.
How about now?
There you go. So, Joe, explain your affiliation.
Mine is, I am Ojibwe from the Lac-Coudre Reservation in northern Wisconsin, and also Polish.
Right, of course.
How about that, huh? There's not many of those around.
Right. Meals must be very interesting.
Yes, they are. But they're always good.
So, Joe, you and I have known each other for a while, and you're a great spokesperson for the American Indian community throughout Illinois and Wisconsin. But I know you love this place, and I want people to come here, and I want people to see it. So sell it for a second.
So it's great. We, you know, our doors are open to everyone. It's about sharing our culture, but we also do multicultural things. But it has to be cultural to be on our table, be on our walls, to get in the door. There's so much of history not told. And from a contemporary point of view, we have great exhibits, about a 3,000-square-foot exhibit dedicated for schools to come in, hands-on, there's teepees. We're going to be building a longhouse. Art that rotates quarterly here, so we're always changing art.
And a lot of it's photography because it's contemporary art.
Right. Some is photography, but there's jewelry makers, so we have the Navajo American Native Jewelers Society. So they come in. That's every Father's Day. We have the National Gathering of Veterans that has tons of veteran artists. That's one of our...
Now, is it Farmer's Market still happening? Are you done for the
season? Farmer's
Market's
on Friday. Yeah,
so that's every tomorrow, Friday. Right? Right.
Correct. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and it's a great example of what you can... You bring people in, you suck them in with fresh fruits and vegetables in a parking lot, then they're going to come inside.
Hey, that's a natural way of eating, right?
That's great marketing.
That's our natural diet. You got to mix them two together.
And you mentioned earlier, but I'll mention it again, the Native Veteran Wall of Honor is a really great thing, right?
Yeah. So... Yeah, and then we've got some great artists coming up. One from New Mexico, Serena Palazzoa.
And you know, you would think with your last name, you'd know how to pronounce her last name, right?
Know?
Come on, man. Unbelievable.
But yeah, she's got a line of jewelry. She's a live art model. So amazing pictures that'll be with that. And then Brent Lern, who comes from Oklahoma, he will be sharing some ledger art, which is a really old tradition that's passed on through his family.
I've never heard that term, ledger art?
Yeah, so when ledger art is when this land was starting to be taken away, everything was recorded on ledgers. So now that the native people got them, they draw their art to tell their story through the art on those ledgers.
It's got to be heartbreaking.
Yeah, so it's telling a,
but it's
a
history.
Dual story. Yeah, it is, and it's really special art that's passed down only through some families.
Don O'Keefe Williams is going to play in just a few moments, and Danny Doyle as well. Maybe we'll have him play with Dean, like you had mentioned. So with Dean Richards here in just a few moments, but more with Joe, too, coming up from the Trickster Art Gallery. And you mentioned schools. Are kids aware in schools that this facility exists, and are the schools participating enough?
We're working hard. We actually have a youth coalition here that's helping within the Schaumburg Township. To introduce that along with...
But school administrators, wherever they're listening this morning, school administrators all over Illinois and Wisconsin and
they need
Iowa.
To be here. They need to come and visit. They can't... Most schools see this as about a 1,000-square-foot facility. I don't know why we tell them it's 10,000. We send them pictures. So we got to get them in the doors.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's great when you go downtown on the lakefront, you go to the museum campus, and you see Chicago's a great museum city. But right here, you've got an example of American Indian culture and art that you need to experience, and it's important to expose these kids to it. So if you're a school administrator, I'd encourage you to go to the website again, trickstergallery.com, and contact you guys.
Please, yeah. More the merrier. And
right,
it's great. So we're even looking at doing... every other month, if they need to bring it to the school, because I know school budgets are getting tough, so we're being creative, too.
You know, adult coloring is big now. If I do some of that, bring it over, and you could do... This is an example of art.
A glass of wine and some coloring.
Yeah. We put up Steve's art just because he was here, but we'll be taking it down soon, that kind of thing. Thanks for the info, as always, but we'll bug you again next hour.
You bet. Thank you.
Desperation brought me to a man I did not know. This man and the call of my ancestors led me to my home, walk strong. My ancestors tell me.
You're listening to Don O'Keefe Williams and Danny Doyle playing live here at the Trickster Art Gallery. TricksterArtGallery.com. Let's listen to more.
Memories kept calling from a past that seemed unknown. And though my footsteps wandered, I was guided back to my home. It all seemed so confusing, I felt aimless in the wind. But Mother Nature soothed me as I was lying on the brink. Walk strong, my ancestors tell me. Walk tall, say the beat of the drum. Walk strong, say the wing of the eagle. Being First Nation is a call from the heart. I feel the strength of the warrior running through my veins as I help my brothers and sisters dealing with their pain. Help us through stamina and strength as we're moving forward to face the challenges of our day. Walk strong, my ancestors tell me. Walk tall, say the beat of the drum. Walk strong, say the beat of the eagle. Being First Nation is a call from the heart.
How about it? How about it? It's beautiful. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Don O'Keefe Williams and Danny Doyle and Don O'Keefe Williams on Facebook, on YouTube, at donokeefwilliams.com. Spelled pretty much just like you'd expect it to be spelled. So we'll save some time for these guys again coming up. Pretty good way to introduce Dean Richards, huh, buddy?
That was fantastic.
They sound great.
Really great.
Yeah, fantastic. That's two people making that kind of sound and here in a building that's not exactly set up for music. Nice job by Adam, too. Adam plugging that in, getting it done. So how are you?
That was good stuff. I'm great. Busy morning.
New block of tickets on sale for Hamilton. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, big stuff.
Brad Pitt may have criminal problems. Oh, boy. More on our famous French friend, Million Coutillard.
I keep seeing the previews for that movie constantly now, yeah, and I could just, I'm just hearing you say,
Million Coutillard. You know, Dean, one of the reasons the French sound like they have a mouthful of cheese is because they have a mouthful of cheese quite often.
Exactly. Anybody knows that.
Yeah, of course.
Brie. You can tell.
And they drink a lot of wine.
So let's do this. Let's take they're loaded. Let's do traffic, and we'll come back, and we'll go through this with Dean. Denny Savard has arrived as well as we continue for the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour at the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg. Got more prizes to give away, but only if you're here and live.
We'll be calling his name, Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
All right, more on the Brangelina breakup. Some Tim Allen news and the latest star of Between Two Ferns, America's most underrated talk show, all with Dean. And if anybody here has a question, Dean, you know I'm no good at estimating crowds, but I believe we have 17,500 people with us here.
Ooh, art people. You get a lot of people at art galleries.
Trickster Art Gallery. And I've arranged for a spot on a wall that can't be seen by the public. It's through an emergency exit where your art and mine could go up.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. All right, so what do we know about Brangelina?
Well, disturbing news that's being reported by multiple sources this morning that Brad Pitt apparently is under investigation for child abuse.
Yikes.
TMZ and People.com are reporting that an incident took place last Wednesday on a private jet on which Pitt, quote, according to these reports, got wasted, went wild, screaming and getting physical with the kids. He continued his rants on the tarmac and tried leaving in one of those fuel trucks that you see on the tarmac. The incident was reported to the LA County Department of Children and Family Services. They interviewed both Brad and Angelina. their investigation is continuing, but...
Isn't this the plot from Die Hard 2?
It's
a star tries to steal a fuel truck on an airport runway.
Pretty weird. The whole
it's so weird. It'd be hard to make it up, right?
Yeah. But you know, it's being all we can say right now. Brad Pitt is denying it. He's saying
I would hope
that he did not abuse his children. That these are allegations in an attempt to show him in the worst possible light. But a few days after this is alleged to have happened, Angelina files for a divorce and is seeking sole custody of their children. So, you know,
if you're drunk and you try to steal a fuel truck from an airport, that doesn't show you in the best light. I don't know how he talks himself out of that. And certainly if any measure of the incident you're describing took place, the kids would certainly feel they were in danger. But then again, you look at Angelina's history, a little wackiness there, too. So there's a lot to be worked out here.
Again, this is just being alleged right now.
I love when I take Dean down this path. So, Dean, what you're saying is that Brad Pitt is abusive to his children. I believe that's the official opinion. That's not the official opinion. I'm being told that's not your official opinion.
Allegedly is being reported by lots of other people. I'm just telling you what other people are saying. Here's what we know, though. This Frenchy girlfriend that you've got now, Marianne Cotillard.
Yeah.
She came out yesterday with a very lengthy Instagram categorically denying that she was having an affair with Brad Pitt. Would you like to feel a little of the Instagram?
Sure.
Be happy to give this to you. She wrote...
Was this after my Instagram post that said I was not having an affair with Brad Pitt? Because I put mine up in the morning.
The wording is very similar, I have to admit.
Okay.
Now, this Marianne Cotillard just co-starred in a film with Brad Pitt. It's coming out very soon. She has been romantically linked with him in some of the reports that have come out. But yesterday she wrote...
Well, the commercials are all over my TV. I mean, every time you turn the television on, all you see is promos for this movie with those two getting jiggy with it.
Well, there's proof
it's
right
movie,
there.
It's a movie, Steve.
There's proof right there.
I told you that they weren't. It's not happening.
Steve, by the way...
Welcome for the 90s reference.
The last person in the last 20 years to use the phrase, get jiggy with it. He also, Steve's wearing a t-shirt that says Frankie says relax. So this is the Marianne Cotillard Instagram. She said this is going
allegedly
to be no, this is real. This is not
alleged. Actually
this okay. actually happened. She okay. wrote, "This is going to be my first and only reaction to the whirlwind news that broke 24 hours ago that I was swept up into. The situation is spiraling and affecting people I love, so I have to speak up." She said, "Many years ago, I met the man of my life, the father of our son, and of the baby we are expecting. He is my love, my best friend, the only one that I need." She is referring to her boyfriend since 2008, a gentleman by the name of Guillaume Canet. She continues to write, "I do very much wish that Angelina and Brad, both whom I deeply respect, will find peace in this very tumultuous moment. With all my love, Marianne."
What's your husband's name?
Boyfriend.
Baby daddy or whatever.
Guillaume Canet. Oh,
okay. All right, well, we appreciate Marianne clearing it up. So how long has the affair been going on, do you think? There's Tim Allen news as well today. What's that about?
We talked with Tim Allen. We went to the set of his TV show, Last Man Standing. Because, Steve, I don't know if you've heard, it's now seen weeknights from 8 to 9 on non-sports nights here on WGN television. You can watch it five nights a week if there's not a game going on. So we were there talking to him about that. But also we got a little bit of scoop. You know, we know him from his Home Improvement show and from other movies. Yep. But maybe his most beloved character is that of the voice of Buzz Lightyear. And we started talking about that. And he says, it looks like there's going to be another movie. Here's what he said.
We're going to do Toy Story 4. This is I'm putting my words where they should be their words. It's a major event for Pixar because I think John Lasseter wants to direct it, and we're still in process of it.
Did you get a sense when you did the first one that this was going to explode the way that it, and that your character would become so iconic?
I knew, as I told the cell animators when we saw the first take, nobody thought this. It's too clear. And it looks weird. I say, yeah, but the relationships are good. And it is about script, and it is about a story. Hanks isn't that good. I mean, we try to get him to lift his performance at all times, you know. I'm always at his house. Tom, come on, get out of bed. Try to lift yourself into my realm of expertise. But the fact that we do like each other, I'm real fond of that guy. And I said that we've developed a friendship over it, almost like those two characters.
So, Toy Story 4.
Did he yawn, by the way, when he announced Toy Story 4?
He did yawn. There was a small yawn involved in the interview. But hearing it here first, Toy Story 4.
Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean allegedly. I mean, it's actually
he's not
exciting.
Having an affair with anybody, apparently, so we don't really care that much.
Oh, I don't know. Guillaume Goudet, whatever his name was, got to watch him. And Between Two Ferns is a very funny online talk show started by Zach Galifianakis. And if you think of, I'm trying to think of who would be a good example of this. Remember cable access shows?
Yeah, basic cable access of the cheesiest sets. This is literally two chairs that are placed between two ferns. And he brings...
And everybody has done this show.
The biggest high-profile people have come on the show for the most awkward... horrible, painfully uncomfortable interviews that almost always wind up with Zach Galifianakis falling backwards off of his chair, off of the platform.
You know what it's a little of? It's a little like Chris Farley. Remember Chris Farley? That yeah. must have been awesome. Yeah. Oh, that was awesome, that guy?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of that feel. So if you got the vibe for the show, tell me who the big guest is going to be.
All the A-listers have been on it. President Obama's been on it. But the latest guest now, Hillary Clinton. And I'm just skimming through it. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. But it's just so incredibly awkward. It starts with Hillary Clinton sitting in a chair by herself and Zach Galifianakis sneaking up on her with a Halloween mask on and her Secret Service tackling him to the ground. Sneaking up on a presidential candidate. It's so stupid.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's so stupid. It's so funny. So it's on funnyordie.com. You can check it out there.
It's Dean Richard, John the Radio on Sunday, but we'll talk tomorrow, and you'll review a couple of movies for us.
Yes, and today, by the way, at 11:10 a.m. This morning, I'm going to be talking live with Hamilton creator and star Lin-Manuel Miranda on the WGN Midday News. Forgot to mention that a new block of tickets are going to be going on sale next Tuesday, the 27th at 10 a.m. They're putting tickets on sale that will stretch through September of 2017. So go to BroadwayInChicago.com. They don't go on sale until next Tuesday, but it's significant that huge block of tickets going on sale next Tuesday.
Thank you, buddy.
Enjoy your day, Pepe Le Pew.
Yes, you too, and say hi to Marianne Cotillard. We have another pair of tickets to give away for the sold-out Blackhawks training camp, and Denny Savard will join us here on the air in just a second. Looking forward to that. Blackhawks season opener just a couple of weeks away now. Before we get to any of that, we do this, and then the big story on 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
Steve! Three!
There's a 1-1 to
Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
Well, and here come the Cubs. Cubs just defeated. Cubs now in that waiting period, waiting to figure out who they're going to play, waiting to figure out what team they're going to field in particular, who's going to start on night one. It's all a very good problem to have. And you know, Dave Ennett, I mean, you know a lot about sports. You've forgotten more about sports than I'll ever know. But to me, my two teams in this town, Mm-hmm. Both winners. You get your Cubs?
Yep.
You know, because they've renamed the bandwagon after me. You know that. It's the Steve Cochran bandwagon.
Steve Cochran bandwagon.
Yes. And your Blackhawks.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be great if we had not one Canadian, but two Canadians?
That would be great.
I mean, they could both talk baseball and hockey.
Yeah.
Ryan Dempster standing by on the phone, who was so good last week when he was in live that people are saying you should take over the show, Demps. I don't know if you got that kind of time.
No, you guys are doing a way better job than I could. I had a blast. That was a really fun time, and I enjoyed interviewing Richard Jenkins. That was a blast.
Yeah, well, you were great. And joining us now to talk baseball and hockey, one of your favorite fellow Canadians, Denny Savard.
Oh, yes, Denny.
Hi, Ryan. How are you, my friend?
Outstanding. Where are you at these days?
Back in Chicago, waiting for hockey season to start, and obviously, hopefully we could see the Cubs win the whole thing.
How about a Cubs World Series and another cup for the Blackhawks?
Very possible.
That sounds like a great celebration in Chicago, that's for sure.
Now, Savvy, Demps gets a little giddy when he starts talking about his hockey heroes, and I know you're one of them. Were you any good, Demps, on the ice?
No. I started late in life, so I started out kind of like a baby giraffe walking for the first time. And then always enjoyed it. I played more now than I ever played as a kid, so I never really got out there like I wish I could have.
Well, the way you pitch, I don't blame you.
Know what you're good at.
I made the right choice.
All right, we're gonna bump back and forth here. Let's start with those Cubs, though, because it's a pertinent story. How tough is it to wait? I mean, they wrapped it up so early. Is it tough to wait?
You know, it is when you get playing good baseball, because then things start firing. You want to make sure that those games and all the things that you're doing mean something. But at the same time, you know, going into the season that it's 162 games to get ready for a postseason, so you have to do that anyways, and you have to go down that road. For those guys, it's about finishing strong throughout the season here and getting ready to go into the playoffs with a challenge ahead of you. And you know, you get some breathers, you get a few days off. Some guys will get an extra day in the rotation, or a guy might get a day off here or there. But it's important. It means, you know, a lot to go out there and prepare ready for the playoffs, and they got to do that.
Well, and it's a luxury too, isn't it, for a team like this that you're give guys rest. You're able to give some guys some work out of the bullpen that might not otherwise get it, and you really have a chance to get your ducks in order for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, you do, and it's a challenge in itself to make sure that you get enough rest, but not too much. It's obviously baseball is such a timing game that you want to make sure as hitters you have that timing down, as pitchers that your stuff is crisp. But you definitely reap the rewards of feeling really good once you go into the playoffs, because you are going to get rest when you need it. A guy who might be hurting a little bit, he's banged up a little bit, or feeling fatigued, he can get a few days here to get a little better.
Plus, you need that time to recover from that celebration last Friday. Where were you when all that was going on?
He's at Benny's, reloading.
Yeah, it was just sitting there around trying to get as much splashed on me from the outskirts as possible. You know, I, it's fun. I've been in those celebrations as a player, and then when you get the chance to watch these guys crack open the champagne and have that first sip and pour it on somebody that they've worked so hard to get there with. But those guys aren't content with just one of those. They want a few more of those celebrations. And Benny's does too, so they make sure they have plenty of champagne ready for them to come pick up.
Sandberg, say hi to Demps.
Hey, Ryan. I had a question. When you're waiting, I know you're getting this more rest, but are you still trying to play your very best, or are you trying to hold back a little bit and conserve it for the postseason?
No. Well, we still got a chance to lock up best record in baseball, so you want to accomplish that. If there's a Game 7 in that NLCS, you want it to be at home. And so those guys are going to go out there and play all the way through. There's things that matter. Listen, the end goal is to win a World Series and to get to the playoffs, you know, and they've accomplished step one, and that's win their division. And now there's a few more steps along the way. But also, too, you put a lot of hard work in during the offseason to go out there. And, you know, it's not about personal stats, but it's about finishing strong. And, you know, there's guys out there who have a chance to win an MVP, or guys that have a chance to win a Cy Young. So you want to finish as strong as possible. When you go into October, you want to be feared. If you're a hitter, you want guys afraid to face you when you step in the box. And if you're a pitcher, you don't want guys to feel uncomfortable when they're out there facing you. So, and the best way to do that is stay sharp, stay fresh and ready to go, because the teams that are
you know, not just the best. It's great. You won your division, but it's about who plays best in October. And now it's getting ready. You're training for that prize fight that's coming up. And I think you do continue to play your best baseball. And that's the only way we know how to do it. And those guys in there, that's the only way they know how to do it.
Damps are only a couple days away from Blackhawks training camp open. And the regular season, it's just two or three weeks away. So you must have a hockey question for the Blackhawks or for the league for Savvy.
Yeah, Savvy, I'm just curious your, kind of take on the whole World Cup of Hockey and being right before a season starts when, it's being healthy is the most important thing going into the season and seeing these guys go out there and play in this tournament. It's not mid-season, it's before the season, and how you feel about all that.
That's a good question. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
Well, it's a great promotion for the NHL, one. Two, I think, I've been watching the World Cup the whole time here, and it's been good hockey. A short tournament like this, sometimes, the best team might not win. You're going to be in a game sometimes, especially coming up the Final Four here, where a goaltender was going to be able to steal a game and win a game and eliminate you. But it is a good tournament. I don't know if you guys watched Team America.
Yeah.
The overtime, the 3-on-3 was just incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of the one in game I was at Pittsburgh with the team last year when we played Pittsburgh and Panarin scored a game winner.
Right.
It was one of those overtime games.
Well, what about the timing? Because, and I think this is where Demps was going too. Thankfully nobody's been hurt yet, but it'd be awful to go into a season with somebody that got dinged up playing World Cup hockey.
Yeah, and it's intense, even though the guys have been on the ice not too long here, but they prepared for it all summer long. They knew this was coming, so... At the end of the day, you're representing your country. I think it's a great thing. So I think the players are really up for it. As we saw, the game so far has been intense. And we'll see what happens down the road here. But I know Canada's probably going to end up playing neither the Russian, looks like, if they win today in the semifinals. So that'd be a heck of a game to watch. And unfortunately for U.S., they've lost the game one against Europe and lost against Canada.
Oh, here you're kidding. You Canadians love it when we lose. One thing before we let you go, Demps, and Savvy, I think you know this. Demps is a very funny guy, and he's one of the funniest players in baseball. He didn't just hot-foot a guy. He'd hot-foot the owner. He'd hot-foot the owner's family. So he'd do all of that. Who's the funniest hockey player you ever played with? Was there a guy that was the practical joker in the dressing room?
Well, good question. I'm trying to think who that would be. There'd be plenty of guys that played pranks on players.
All right. Well, you think about it during the break. But yeah. We'll expect an answer when you come back, and there will be points awarded. All right, Demps, have a great weekend, and we will connect with you next week as we get ever closer to not just home field, but to get ever closer to the beginning of the playoffs and the beginning of the run.
Absolutely, guys. Always a pleasure. Savvy, good to talk with you, man.
Same here, Demps. Take care. Good luck.
That was cool, like hearing the two Canadians say goodbye. That was Canadian. Yeah. They were talking. Oh, did you hear that? Yeah. That was actually Canadian.
I didn't understand all of it.
They were talking like in Canadian.
Dempster's accent came back. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
We didn't even use A,
Hey. No, you got an A-der from him. A-der, Savvy.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Here comes Glenn Anderson. His pass knocked down by Savard. Skates through center, ragging the puck. Savard still has it around Tikkanen.
It's almost hockey, baby. Sing along.
The Lightning and Blackhawks. Take the attack, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks. Move on.
Savvy's here from your Chicago Blackhawks. Any Hawks fans in the house? You betcha. Good to see you, buddy. That goal we just played, do you remember your goals? Like, when you hear a play-by-play of a goal, do you go back to that point?
I do remember, and I always tell a story, or a quick one here, because I know we've got a lot of people.
We got time for you.
Yeah, but, so Wayne Gretzky, I was a power play.
I'm sorry, who?
Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, yes,
that
yes,
guy,
Gretzky,
you know?
yeah.
So he was on the ice, but he always goes back to the story when I tell the story that he wasn't on the ice. Yes, I said, Gretzky was a power play. It was a short end of goal. And I said, I kind of went through the neutral zone and went through a couple guys. He says, yeah, but he says, I was at the far blue line. I agree. He said, I was at the far blue line waiting for you to turn it over. I was cherry picking, so I'd go on in a breakaway. Wouldn't give me credit for it, you know?
He's on the other end of the ice hoping you drop the puck.
Exactly.
Was he fun to play against?
No, not at all.
Because you knew how good he was.
Yeah. He was one of those players in our days, obviously. You know, talk about killer instinct and tight. When it was time to put teams away, he was the guy that really did it to you. You know, we've had opportunities.
But he wasn't a hitter. He was a guy that just, was he the smartest guy to ever play? Because it seems like he knew exactly where to be at the on the ice at all times.
Yeah, great vision. You know, I mean, you look at our guy here, Patrick Kane, the way he plays and the plays that he makes, and sometimes you're stunned about the decisions he makes because how did he see this guy coming late, or how did he see this play coming up? And, you know, a bit similar to Gretz, you know, and Gretz was in his days was the best in the business, and, you know, Kaner right now is the best in the business, no question.
What about Taser? Aside from being a great captain and a great leader, how good is he?
Well, yesterday, if people watched the game, you know, that goal, the first goal he scored, most players, when the puck was dumped around the boards, most players would have gone around the net and maybe back to the front. He decided to stop on the short side of the net, the weak side of the net, and came back to the front, was able to tip it in.
Right.
If he wouldn't have done that, you know, I don't think the goal would have been scored. And every time we talked about players, you know, I always try to go in straight lines and make sure you stop in your own end, especially, and even when you're near the net, instead of go take that extra little circle around, stop and get to the front, because you never know what could happen. And again, you know, it was a huge goal for Canada.
Yeah, pucks on net, right? Pucks on net.
Pucks on net, and he got there before the goalie.
Dave, say hi to Savvy.
You know, Savvy, you know, you mentioned Team USA. They've been really fun to watch. I mean, you have these kids 23 and under from Canada and from the United States. Team USA is taking a lot of heat for their performance at the World Cup, and people are saying, well, they need to go in a different direction. Is it just a cyclical thing where, okay, they've had their moments where they've beaten Canada, but now it's swung the other way? Do they need to totally scrap it and start over?
I think they're going to look back at this, and you know, honestly, I don't think that they had the best team on the ice they could have had, you know, for this particular short-term tournament.
Phil Kessel apparently thought so, too.
Yeah, yes, I saw that. But, you know, when you're going to 4-7 series, you could wear a team down, but in a one game, I don't think you could do that. And I think, you know, if they look back at what the choice that they made in the roster, I think they go back and say, you know, maybe would have got, you know, we should have got this guy, and this guy. You know, when you watch the game the other night, you know, you could tell that the speed of Team Canada was way superior than Team USA on that particular night. And but, you know, again, Team USA took the lead 1-0. If they would have got a chance to get the 2-0, who knows what kind of game would have been. So, you know, it's easy to say after, when it's all said and done, how the game came and finally the way Canada played the Team USA. But you got to give Canada a lot of credit. They're a good team. I mean, you watch the top four lines. You even watch the fourth line of Canada.
It's almost like you guys invented it. It's almost like you guys play a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I did for sure.
Yeah. Artemi Panarin comes back for his second year. Is there a sophomore slump in hockey? Because a guy who had a rookie year, and I know he's an older rookie, but a guy who had a rookie year like he did, how does he follow that?
Well, you play with Kanan and Anisimov. I think it's pretty much, you know, what's going to happen this year. They're going to be able to connect again together. There's no question. Yeah, it could happen, but I don't think it's going to happen. The fact that he's very, very talented and he's playing with two great players.
And he works hard, right?
Oh, he works hard. He competes. I mean, you saw even in this World Cup here, he's played well. You know, we'll watch a game this afternoon here and against the Finns, I think they're playing. So it should be an interesting game there. I mean, Russia needs to win to continue on, and the Finns are obviously out, so should be a Russian should win. I like to see that because I think they're going to play Team Canada. Be a great game to
It'll
watch.
Be a great final. Stan Bowman every year has to put together a team under the salary cap in the NHL. It seems like it gets tougher every year. Camp starts on Saturday. We're going to see a bunch of kids whose dream is to get where you got, to make it and prove themselves. Is there a breakout that you've heard about, somebody you're going to be watching for? A
couple of them. I think this camp is going to, you know, there's a kid, Forsling, you know, that played in Europe last year as a defenseman. They tell me that in Traverse City was the MVP of the tournament. Good young defenseman that we traded for Clendenning, I think 2 years ago to Vancouver, so that was a great trade. We got a kid, Mott, that's like hard. I think he finished third in college scoring last year, that has got block shots. He's a good two-way player. And obviously Schmaltz, if we signed this summer, that's been has had a pretty good camp. So, you know, we can't forget some of the kids, Ryan Hartman from Chicago kid that's been in our minor league system for a while now. And obviously Vinny and Estrosa, also that's a good player. So those are some jobs that are open, and there might be some, you know, room that some of those guys will might make the team and make a tougher decision for Stan. I mean, he's done a great job for the team to continue to be a contender every year by losing, you know, 11 players the first cup, and 9 players the second cup, and I think 6 after the third cup. So, yeah, we'll be right there again. There's no question.
I know we're out of time, but one quick one from Dave.
Yeah, what impact do you think Brian Campbell's going to have?
Oh, great question, and he will be an impact. Just the fact that, you know, we need a top 4 guys. We need 4 defensemen to compete in this league, and we got that.
And how is he still as fast as he was when he left here? I told him when I saw him, I go, you're an old man now. How are you still as fast?
Great shape. He's working out like, you know, like a young kid, and that's what kept Soupy around the league for a long time and played the level that he has. So
he looks great.
Yeah, he's excited to be here, and, you know, obviously this is going to be home for him, so it was a good deal for both the Hawks and himself.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a fun season. Can't wait to get it cranked up. Saturday morning, Lou Manfredini live. Camp underway as soon as tomorrow, right?
Doesn't tomorrow, camp open tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow.
And Forsling, Mott, Smaltz, and Reinhardt. Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, it'd be good. Hopefully, you know, these guys could, you know, make the team and make some tougher decisions for manager, which they like to do. It's not a problem. They like that.
I know you have a hard day ahead to play golf with some friends and watch World Cup hockey. Don't pull a muscle.
No, I won't.
You'll be all right?
Yeah, I'll try to shoot your score today, like 74.
Yeah, well, listen, the problem you and I always have is, what am I? Am I a week older than you? Is that what we figured out? And yet I look 10 years older. What happened to me?
We're speed limit, remember?
Oh, that's it, 55, baby. 55. Great seeing you, Savvy. All the best. And all these people here love you. So
Thank you for having me.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:14. Not sure we're going to have time to get to it, but did you see the EpiPen CEO that got in all the trouble? He's testifying to Congress yesterday and had no answers. It was a complete embarrassment. And her mother was referenced because her mother and her father are both involved in a bunch of stuff that's at best shady, if not illegal. She actually said, bringing up my mother's a cheap shot. Does this woman know anything about cheap? I don't think so, Dave. $600 for the EpiPen that you can make for a buck and a half.
I don't think she has a kid with allergies.
Right. It's unbelievable.
I'm sure she doesn't.
One of the stories that I'd like to have more time for, but we don't necessarily have time for it today. But you know what we do have time for is to say hi to our friends from Allstate. And in particular, Chuck Suda, who we got a chance to talk to the other day. Chuck, 2 agencies, Chuck, is that right?
Correct.
How long have you been with Allstate?
I'm in my 27th year.
You look like you're 28, dude.
I started when I was 2.
Yeah, no kidding. No, you do. You're in great shape.
Thanks.
When do you have time to take care of yourself when you're working at Allstate?
I'm sorry?
What's your workout?
I try and get to the gym at least 3 times a week. So.
Okay. Yeah. Any big family?
I have 4 children. Yeah. I come from a family of 4 older sisters. So.
Wow. No kidding. So were you babied or?
The baby. And grew up in Schaumburg. So been in this community a long time.
Now your 4 kids, how old are they?
Range in age from 12 to 21.
And what's 21-year-old doing?
He's at the community college, but getting there.
Figuring out his life.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Smartest move you can make financially.
Oh, absolutely. Taking care of your pocketbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Chuck, why'd you get involved with Allstate back when you did?
Well, I always had that entrepreneurial drive, and so this was my first job out of college, and graduated and started 2 weeks after. So.
And you learn the insurance business, and then my understanding is with Allstate agents in particular that word of mouth is key. In other words, you make a customer happy, they're going to tell somebody else. Is that how you grow the business?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So started with friends and family, and now we have over 4,500 households that I insure. So.
It's a lot of work.
Yep.
But you love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my passion. And
how do you decide to open a second office?
It was just an opportunity knock. An agent was looking to sell his business, and he was a great agent, so it seemed like it was a good fit to take over for his clients.
Because you knew you'd take care of his people and all of that.
Yep.
So what do? Bounce back and forth between the two?
Yeah, luckily now with the internet, it's a seamless transition. I can be in the Elgin location or Schaumburg. Someone calls and the phone just transfers to either office. So, you know, I could be in Alaska, really, and the customers, it's a seamless transition.
So Chuck Suda, one of Allstate's finest for all these years, Give me something we need to think about for car or home going into winter.
Well, you know, distracted driving is probably one of the biggest things that plague people. So I tell them, put that cell phone down and just take a little extra time when you're behind the wheel, because everybody else is distracted, unfortunately.
I can picture you pulling, since this is your town, you pull up next to some, one of your clients, and they're texting. Do you just honk the horn and yell at them?
I absolutely
would. I'm trying to help you.
And even if they call me and they tell me they're driving in the car, I said, you know, call me when you're stopped, not while you're driving.
Sure. So. What about the house? Anything we ought to be thinking about for the house to winterize and make sure we don't have to call you for a claim?
Well, when you go out of town on vacation, don't turn the heat down, because that's probably the number one thing that happens. People think, oh, I'll save a little money and turn the heat down, and then their pipes burst. So
we're going to talk to Andrea Darlis about that, the cheapest human being we know, right? Andrea's always worried about a degree here or a degree there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Except when she's traveling to Greece. What about ice dams, damn it?
Luckily, we haven't been plagued by it in a few years, but, you know.
Be smart.
Well, yeah. Make sure you clear your vents and, you know,
listen properly to Lou Manfredini.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, Lou, I'll talk you through it. I know one of the commitments you've made at your agencies is to help the folks in your town, and the woman sitting next to you we actually know, because we've met her before. But talk about your connection to the food bank.
So I've been volunteering there for about 5-6 years. Not only is it such a great organization, but the people that actually run it are pretty amazing as well. So,
and amazing, Julie. Tell everybody your full name and title.
Sure. I'm Julie Yurko, and I'm the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
This is a big deal, right, to have businesses commit, because we know most businesses are small businesses, and 4,500 clients is a lot of work, but Chuck's running a couple of smaller businesses here with a lot of on his plate, and yet he's reaching out to help you. Is that unique, or are you getting that kind of commitment from a lot of people?
It matters, number one. When you say our business runs because people choose to get involved and companies choose to get involved, whether it's like Chuck, who you may not know, brings many of the agents to our food bank to volunteer, which Allstate matches those hours, providing more than $40,000 for the food bank. So it absolutely matters, and we invite everybody to come and help. We know that hunger is real. There are people that are suffering, but it is a solvable issue. So any individual, corporation that wants to get involved, please give us a call or visit solvehungertoday.org and help us serve our hungry neighbors.
And you nagged some of your other agents into helping, right? Now they're all involved?
Yep. Yeah, this year we had close to 40. Last year we had about 25. So we hope to just keep building on that every year.
Yeah. It's hard to say no, I would hope. And you get a call from Chuck going, yeah, we want to help people who are hungry. What are you gonna go? Oh, yeah, I got to play golf with Steve. No, they're going to help out.
Yeah. No, we've actually labeled the event that we do Good Hands Feed Kids. Mm-hmm. And this year we got to work on the backpack program, which is just an incredible thing that the food bank does.
So. Well, it's a very nice thing. If people want to get a hold of you at the agency, either one, where do you send them? The website or call you?
Call 847-301-7100 is the number.
Is it a big deal to change? Like if somebody's got insurance they're not happy with, you handle that for them?
Yep, we make it as simple as possible for the customer to switch.
All right, what's the number again?
847-301-7100.
And you were nice enough to say, hey, could I do something for Julie while she's here? So what did you want to do today?
you know, I can't tell people. If they right now they really need volunteers. So if you can just get out, you can go to their website, sign up for a shift, because really they have enough food, but they need people to help distribute it.
We also have a big funny-looking check over here.
Yeah, well, so luckily we're able to get some extra money for the food bank today.
Now, Julie, I told you before, don't take this check to the bank, because it's not an actual check. And you want to reveal the amount there?
So today we're getting $1,000 donated to the food bank today.
How about a hand for that? What does $1,000 do for you?
For every dollar given to the food bank, we can turn that into $8 worth of groceries that we can distribute to our neighbors in need. So this will help get out $8,000 worth of food for our neighbors.
You should feel very good about that, Chuck. Thank you for the generosity.
Well, thank you.
All right, get back to work. Stop paying attention. Chuck's got a couple of businesses to run. And Julie, thank you. Your website again is?
SolveHungerToday.org. The holidays are coming up. There are lots of ways to get involved. Lots of need out there. So please get in touch with us. Help us solve hunger right here in Chicago.
Volunteers, right? Volunteers, big deal?
Volunteers, donate, get involved any way you'd like. We'll take you.
Thanks to both of you.
Absolutely.
Coming back with more about the Trickster Art Gallery in a couple of minutes. And also, I'm going to send Sandberg shopping for me, here in a second. Would you mind doing that? You can go downstairs.
I love shopping.
All right, I've only got $100 in cash on me, but take $100 in cash, go downstairs, and see if you could find me something that would fit in my art collection, which currently includes the dogs playing pool and the dogs playing poker.
I think I'm going to find something that's about $1.50.
And keep the change? No, I don't think so. So find me a nice piece of artwork from our friends here at the Trickster Gallery, TricksterGallery.com. We'll take a break, come back. More here in the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour at 720 WGN. And special thanks to Bonefish Grill for giving gift cards to our listeners here today, and Wally's Coffee House in Schaumburg for bringing a coffee on the border as well with gift cards, and Lou Malnati's Pizza. This is the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Trickster Art Gallery, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. And can we check in downstairs? Let's do that. Going downstairs now. So we're on the upper level. We're on the upper level of the Trickster Gallery. The level below is a large shop that has really a bunch of really amazing exhibits and pieces of Native Indian art. Pardon me for the choke up here. And let's go to Sandberg, who's shopping now. Now, I only had $100, Sandberg. Are we going to get anything for $100?
We are. There's a lot of things to get down here, actually.
So what are we looking at?
I'm looking right now at a turtle rattle.
Is that something that Abigail Grace would like?
She would like this.
It's so cute.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, you can also bang it on things.
All right. That sounds like something I would enjoy.
On your head, yeah. There was a, I was in the jewelry section, and I see a necklace that I like.
Okay. Well, I don't think I can buy it now. I don't think that's for the goal here is to add it to my incredible art collection.
Oh, your art collection. I'm sorry. Yes, I thought you wanted to get me something.
No, no, no. It's for the incredible art collection to try to give it an upgrade of American Indian art. So the rattle is the leader.
As Joe just pointed out to me, it could be an additional wedding gift for me. Just
tell Joe not to help. Yes. All right. So
I can be creative.
Yes, you can. So we have the leader in the clubhouse is the turtle rattle.
Yes, but I also have these beautiful prints down here, $10. We can do like a collage on one of your walls.
Oh, that's not bad.
You know, like where you do like four and four and four.
That's not bad.
Or some photos.
That's not bad. All right, well, keep looking. Keep shopping. We'll check in.
Oh, a Bunky Echo Hawk signed and limited edition print. So you sign one. That probably makes more sense. Or a Native photograph.
See, I love photography.
We can get two Native photographs. You can do one on either side of your bed.
I love photography. I love great photography. That may be the winner. All right, well, keep looking. Keep looking. I feel like you've barely scratched the surface.
I have, and there's some T-shirts. Joe's going to give you a T-shirt already, though, so we don't need to spend any money on that.
All right, now, and by the way, ask Joe, but I believe all the money spent at the shop just goes right back into the effort here at Trickster, right?
Hey, Joe, does all the money go right back into Trickster?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
So there you go, Trickster Art Gallery. By the way, Trickster Art Gallery, and thank you, more shopping coming up, hosts the Communities for Positive Youth Development, its Youth Advisory Council. The Schaumburg Center's Farmers Market is every Friday, so it'll be tomorrow again here in the parking lot from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. through the month of October. And the Joe you heard from there is and I've pronounced his name correctly all morning, I don't want to mess up now, Joe Podlasek. And Joe can talk more about Trickster when he comes back up to join us here in a few minutes. Should we take a break? Catch up here? 928 on 720 WGN.
I like to feel the sun and wind on my face. I am so grateful to be in this place.
You're listening to Don O'Keefe Williams and Danny Boyle.
I feel the love of almost everyone I meet. Connections are strong, and that's what makes us complete. We are one. La-da-da-dum. We are one. La-da-da-dum. I feel the love and warmth of Father Sky. That we all can find somewhere, someone, somehow, through ancestors we're tied. 4, 6, and 8-legged share our planet and the sky. We are one. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- are searching, and much to their surprise, a common thread in all of us is what they'll find. Bloodlines and heritage connect us one by one. We all have gathered from a place under the sun. We are one. La da da. We are one. I feel the love and warmth of Father Sky. The trails of history show that we all can find. Somewhere, someone, somehow, through ancestors we're tied. 4, 6, and 8-legged share our planet and the sky. We are one.
Really, really exceptional. Really, really, really nice. I love that line, too. 4, 6, and 8-legged share our planet. Really, very nice. That's Dawn O'Keefe Williams and Danny Doyle, dawnokeefewilliams.com. Can people connect with you there? Best. That's the best place to do it, is on the website? Yeah, on the website?
The website is dawnokeefewilliams.com.
Yeah, and people can contact you there? You got an email connection and all that
the
there?
The email connection is dawnokeefewilliams@yahoo.com.
Really beautiful. Thank you to both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Give my hand. Sure, absolutely. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg, presented by Allstate agent Chuck Suda. I also want to salute a couple of fine Americans here. I was just talking to Thomas Zazadil, United States Army retired post commander who works with a bunch of great vets, and it keeps paying it forward day after day after day. Part of the Ellsworth Meineke American Legion Post 1983 here in Schaumburg and in Hoffman Estates. And I had the pleasure of shaking the hand of Fred Hossfeld. Fred, I believe Fred is 90. Is that right, Fred? 92. 93. Oh, 83. Where did I get 90 from? Yeah, but 83, and you don't look a day over 82, my friend. You look fantastic. But he still got a handshake, could rip my arm off, and he is out there taking care of vets as well. I want to thank all you guys, and thank you not just to you guys, but vets listening. I know you guys have worked with in the past. You've worked with Honor Flight. You know what great work Honor Flight does in particular. But thank you all very much. How about a hand for these guys and every vet listening and their families as well? I don't know where I got 90. He's going to beat me up on the way to the parking lot now. He's just a kid.
His head says Korea.
He's a kid. He's 83.
Don't age him.
And we were talking to a couple of Canadians earlier. And speaking of great Canadians, did you guys see Kiefer Sutherland's new show last night?
I did see it.
It's pretty good.
I liked it.
It's pretty good. I hate to admit it. I don't want to get sucked in.
But is he the usual Kiefer Sutherland with his, mumbling, whispering tone?
No. He's vulnerable, like myself.
Oh, he's vulnerable.
Yes, he's vulnerable and sensitive. And it's pretty good.
The effects are pretty good, too.
Yeah, the Capitol gets blown up. Everybody dies, and he's the last man standing, and he becomes president.
And no one wants him to be president.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
Yeah, he don't want to be president.
Yeah, and he's got challenges right out of the gate. I don't know. I'm very loyal to 24, but they may have me already. Have they got you?
I think so.
Yeah,
I'm definitely watching next week.
Got a couple more prizes to give away to the folks who are assembled here before we finish up. But joining me again is my friend Joe Podlasek. And Joe, you got a beautiful place here. Nice crowd all morning. Nice steady group of people.
Very good crowd.
So. I want to thank you for being our host before we run out of time where I could do that. And I know you and Sandberg were shopping with my money.
That was easy.
What'd we buy?
We were busy. Oh, we got a whole lineup for you.
Oh, really? Tell me what we bought.
Anyway, before we continue, too, I want to thank you, your crew here, WGN, for being out here. Outstanding.
Well, it's nice of you. And for everybody here, maybe it's your first time, don't forget that website right there and share it with your friends. TricksterGallery.com. Spread the word.
Right. And then a quick comment about the Hawks. One, our veterans, all the veterans that have been on the ice, native vets, and for good kudos for the Hawks picking up a native player this year. Jordan Tutu? Jordan
Tutu. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Detroit can keep sending
that's
us their hot
right.
guys.
How about that? And you know, he's got good blood because there's a guy who has played in the league forever, and he's scrappy and he's fast. That's going to be fun.
Get him and Keith. We got a defense then.
How about that?
Yeah. Is his number going to be 22? Tutu?
Good call. Yeah, Tutu. No, Tutu's not 22, though. That would make sense. I can't remember his number.
I don't know.
Be Tutu.
Yeah, but Dave's looking it up right now. All right, so what did we buy?
So anyway, we got... one of the artists here, and, you know, we talked about art and education.
Yeah, yeah.
A big part. Bunky Echohawk, contemporary artist, designer for Nike, through the Native section. Got a piece right here behind me that he did talking about hope in our future for our culture. So we picked out a Bunky Echohawk.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
limited
beautiful.
Edition sign. And it's an image of Yoda,
yeah,
with a headdress on.
Yeah.
So it's if Yoda was an Indian,
right?
You know, before you mentioned about listening to our elders,
right?
So we thought, how perfect, right?
Right. That's fantastic. I get that framed up and displayed.
So we'll take care of that for you. The other thing is, as a gift from us, and we'll get each one of you guys one. The Standing Rock statement. There's a T-shirt here.
So I stand with Standing Rock.
Right. So I stand with Standing Rock. And this is about the people that have made the stand. It's the largest gathering of Native people in history.
Is that right?
In history.
Oh, I did not know that.
There's tribes that are sitting down together, protecting the water and the land that haven't spoken in 75 years.
Right. And they're stepping up for this.
They're all stepping up together from all over the country.
Right. And the concern is, obviously, well, everybody understands... You got to have gas to run your car. You've got to have fossil fuels to do things, but you got to do it in a way that's not going to damage the land and put a threat like the threat of Standing Rock.
Right, and cutting right through that Missouri River, they're going to leak.
Right.
It's a matter of time, so it'll affect us all. So,
and those shirts are available downstairs, right?
They are here, yeah, they're available. And all of the proceeds from these shirts go to that mission. We're a gathering spot, and then runners come by on their way to send supplies, and we're doing meetings on October 4th here. Everyone is welcome that's interested in helping the environment and helping this movement to, because not a drop of that oil is going to help us here in the States. It's all being
frustrating,
exported.
Right.
And so it's not going to save us a penny at the gas station or in any of our machines.
And you see what we're kind of prisoner to as well, right? When the plant in Whiting goes down, suddenly the price goes up.
Right.
And there's a whole foggy nature to the price of gas, too, that a lot of people can't explain. But thank you for the work you're doing here.
Absolutely.
And thanks to the community of Schaumburg for supporting you guys.
They're fantastic here. And then we've got some, you know, really good artists here. That Robert Wapahe is a Lakota artist. Joe Yazzie, Navajo artist. And there's a list that goes on that you just got to see. It's a wonderful collection of a variety of different tribal art that's available for sale.
Right, and the support stays right here.
Right. We reinvest it right into our program, so it's economic development for our people is really
sure. And what's the address here, 190?
190 South Roselle.
Right, and it's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
So, again, good for Schaumburg for stepping up. TricksterGallery.com. Remember that. And you'll be connected here. But please come out and bring your kids, because that's how you pay it forward. You teach kids to spread the word.
That's it. So one more comment.
Yeah.
The exhibit that's around us,
yeah,
new partnership with the Illinois Art Institute here in Schaumburg, this is a student exhibit. So
these are all kids' works.
These are all kids' works that needed a professional space to hang their stuff, to give them some encouragement, to keep
them
moving. Because arts are being stripped out of the academic world daily. And we need to re-encourage them.
Do you ever have artists come out here and do work here?
We do.
Do you have studio space?
Yes. Yeah. So, and then what we're doing is part of our program development coming up in the rest of this year and into next year is artist residence program.
Yeah.
So we want to have them here for a week and engage with the community and do some work. So we're building some studios right at the back of this floor.
How great is that? That'd be exciting, right?
Yeah.
see the stuff produced and, yeah. and then displayed here.
Right. And it's all cultures. It's not just native, as long as it's culture.
Yeah, but to bring it full circle, I think it's important for people to understand the emphasis, as I understand it, on the modern message Absolutely. Of the American Indian movement is to erase the BS of the message of what American Indians were, are, and have been.
We have to do that. Absolutely.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and the only way to do that is get engaged.
That's it. It's a true story. Nice to see you, my friend.
Yeah,
keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. We'll come back, wrap it up, give it to Bill and Wendy in a moment. And, Dave, you got a couple more prizes to give away to the people who are assembled here. When we come back on 720 WGN.